We're holding on Peivav Amud Beis by the two dots, about 12 lines from the bottom. The Mishnah had said Hamvayish is a summa v'chola, that if a person causes boshes to a blind person, causes embarrassment to a blind person, and that would mean whether he actually injured him, where the injury typically includes boshes as well, because there's a certain humiliation in from him, from then on going around with a missing limb or injured limb or something, or it can include where there's boshes without anything else, as the Gemara had mentioned earlier in the parak, for example, somebody spit in his face or slapped him or what have you. Anyway, the Mishnah had said that if a person makes a blind, if a person causes boshas to a blind person, then he's chayev just like he would with anybody else. And the implication was also, as we learned in the Gemara yesterday, that that would apply not only, that would also apply the other way around if the blind person caused boshas to somebody else. So the Gemara says, Masnisin deloy ke Rabbi Yehuda. Our Mishnah then is not going like Rabbi Yehuda. Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Summa Ein Loi Boshes. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees and says that a blind person, there's no Boshes. And V'chach Hoya Rabbi Yehuda Poitim Mechayvi Goldius Mechayvi Malkius. And in the same vein, Rabbi Yehuda would say that a blind person, if he killed somebody accidentally, is not Chayev to go into Golus. And he wouldn't, if he did something that would make him chayev malchus, then he's potter. And if he did something that would make him chayev missus beistin, then he's potter. So Rabbi Yehuda holds that he's potter from all those things across the board. So obviously, when our Mishnah says that a blind person has boshes, and that means, in other words, that means in both directions. It means that boshes caused to him is payable, but it also means that boshes that he caused to somebody else is also payable. So Rabbi Yehuda evidently disagrees with that. So my time is Rabbi Yehuda. So why does Rabbi Yehuda hold that? Because Gomer einecha me'edim zayim. He makes a Gzeira Shava. Where do we learn the whole concept of Boshas from? We learn it from the fact that the Torah says, we talked about in the Gemara yesterday, a case where two people are fighting. The wife of one of them comes to intervene, and she causes Boshas to the guy who's fighting with her husband. And then the Pasuk says that you have to make her pay. Loi sochis einecha. Your eye should not have any pity on her. You shouldn't say, in other words, look, she's poor, she can't afford it, she didn't mean anything bad, etc. No, you have to make her pay. So we learn a Gzeira Shava on the word by Edim Zemmin, where it also says a similar expression, v'loy sachas einach, v'loy sachas ein cha'olav. So the Gzeira Shava teaches us, ma hosam sumin loy, just like with Edim Zemmin, they can't be blind, because obviously blind people can't give edus, af hocha sumin loy, therefore the same thing Rabbi Yehuda learns by the Gzeira Shava, that the same thing would be as far as boshes. Now, Rabbi Akiva Eger points out in Gilyon HaShas, wait a minute, can't you have a case where the person saw something before he became blind and was able to say Edris about it then, and now he became blind? Why should we say that he's excluded? So in fact, he brings that Tosfos elsewhere says, in fact, that yes, a person who's blind now is, Tosfos brings in Bava Basra, that a person who's blind now is Pasul Edris, even on things that he saw while he still had his sight. So that would answer the question neatly, but that's not universally agreed to, but nevertheless, that at least gives one possible way of answering how the Gemara can take it as a given that a blind person is not subject to the concept of Edim Zomin, or in general to the concept of Edus at all, because we're talking about that even when he saw the thing happen while he was still sighted, he wouldn't now be able to go and give Edus on it now that he's blind. So therefore, again, Rabbi Yehuda is learning a Gzeira Shava from that, and saying in turn from that, we also learn by the word einecha that the same thing applies, to boshes. What about mechayve golius? Why does Rabbi Yehuda say that he's potter from golus if he killed somebody accidentally? So d'tanya, this we have another braisa says, the pasuk describes a case where a person kills somebody else below the ois, without seeing. So what does that mean? That means, in other words, a person who usually is able to see But now he's not able to. Prakla summa, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that comes to exclude a blind person who can never see. Rabbi Meir says no. The Rabbis is a summa. On the contrary, the words below the ois come to include a blind person. So my time with Rabbi Yehuda. Which, by the way, as far as the previous one, as far as the when we're saying that we, since we have the Gzeira Shava from Einecha, then that means that we exclude blind people because they can't give Eidos. Tosfos says by the same logic, you're going to say, for example, that what about people who stole or avodim? They're not culture from Boshes, even though they can't give Eidos. And what about women, for that matter, also? The svara is that since, after all, the Gzeira Shava is on the word Einecha, so we're going to make it have something to do with the seeing. So an Eved or Gazlan or whatever, the fact that they're Pasul Eidos has nothing to do with seeing, whereas by blind person it is. So that's why Rabbi Yehuda learns the Gzeira Shava that. Anyway, so again, we're saying as far as Golos, so Tanya below the ois prakal summa divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that the word below the ois comes to exclude a blind person. Rabbi Meir omer l'Rabbis is a summa, and Rabbi Meir says it comes to include him. So my time with Rabbi Yehuda. Why does Rabbi Yehuda say that a blind person is excluded? Omalach. So he says like this. Look at the psukim. The pasuk starts off Vasher yovei esrei ehu bayar lacht of etzim. You have a case where a person goes together with somebody else into the forest to chop wood. Now, that would include Va'afilu Summa. The Pasuk is not specifying what the situation of these people is, so that would include even that the wood chopper is blind. So, and then he'd be Chai of Golos if he accidentally killed the other guy while he was chopping the wood. Kosa Rachmana below the Ois Lama'oti. Therefore, the Pasuk puts in the word below the ois that he can't see, involved meaning to be mamayat, to say that it has to be somebody who normally should have been able to see, and this time he wasn't paying attention, as opposed to a blind person who can't see in the first place. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda learns from that he's potter from Golos. Virab Meir, a mayor would answer back to that, on the contrary, it's true, the word below the ois should exclude a blind person. But the pasuk also says that he killed him without his knowledge. So, and a blind person, he's not going to know whether the other person is within striking distance. Have a miut acha miut. So therefore, what you have over here is a miut acha miut. You have the miut from the word below the ois, and another one from the word bali das. So in miut acha miut alol rabbis. And when you have two miyotim, then instead it comes to add in. So therefore we do end up including back in the blind person. So now Tosfos asks the question over here, and they ask this in some other places as well, that in that case, why have the two miyotim in the first place? Don't say anything, and why would we think to exclude a blind person? So according to Rabbi Yehuda, you have one miut, so we understand. But according to Rabbi Meir, they have two miutim. What's the point? So elsewhere, Tosfos gives an answer that the fact is there could be other possible drushas that we would exclude him. So therefore, the ein miut acha miut, El Rabbis tells you ignore those other potential drushas. No, include the fellow. The Pnei Yeshua also points out that, look, we would have thought that we would have said that we have a Gzeira Shava that the Gemara is going to bring soon on the word Rosha to say that he's potter from Mrs. Bastin. We would have thought to apply the same thing over here as far as Malkus and as far as Golus, and therefore says Rameo, we need the Miut Acha Miut to tell us otherwise. Okay, so that's why they're arguing over Golus. What about Chayvim Mrs. Bastin? Why does Rabbi Yehuda hold that a blind person is potter from Mrs. Bastin? Astia Retzeach, Retzeach, me Chayvim Golius. Because you have the word Retzeach that it mentions in connection with somebody who's Chayvim Golius. So it says, Loisitko Koifel and Nefesh Retzeach. Don't take a payment and commute his Golius. He has to go into Golius regardless. By Malkus, you also have By Misa, you have Loisikul Kofel and Nefesh Retzeach. By Golos, you have Lanus Shoma Retzeach. So you have the same word Retzeach is used for both of them. So therefore, we learn one from the other that therefore, if he's Potter from one, he's Potter from the other. What about Chayvei Malkius? Where does Rabbi Yehuda get that he's Potter from Malkius? Asya Rosha Rosha Mi Chayvei Mrs. Bastin, because he learns in turn another Gzeira Shava from the ones who are Chayvei Mrs. Bastin, where you have the word Rosha by Malkius and you have the word Rosha by Mrs. Bastin. So therefore, so he has a chain of Gzeira Shavas Once he says that by one of them that he's potter, namely that he learned by the chayav golus that he learns from beloy ra'os, then that chain of gzeira shabbos tells us the same thing that he's chayav by missus beistin, and the same thing he's potter by malchus. Whereas Reb Meir, who disagrees on all of those, he would say, to begin with, the Beloy Ra'os teaches us to include the blind person, because we said Ein Mir Tacha Mir. Therefore, the Gzeira Shavas would tell us to include him as far as the other things as well. They would say he's Chayev on all those things. Tosfos discusses at some length over here. We do find other Gemaras where we see that the Chachamim against Rabbi Yehuda do in fact learn this Gzeira Shava from the word Rosha to the word Rosha, and they learn other dinim from it. And Tosfos discusses at some length. So how is Rabbi Yehuda going to learn those dinim, and so on and so forth. So fine. So that's one braisa that says, so now we understand why Rabbi Yehuda says he's potter from Boshes, because he learns Gzeira Shava on the word Einecha from Edom Zomin. Then he says that they're also potter from various other things because of another chain of Gzeira Shavas. And so that explains why he said in the Mishnah why he says in the braisa that a blind person Boshes doesn't apply to. Actually, Tosfos points out that even Rashi would apparently agree to this. We don't mean another person who caused boshes to a blind person is potter. We mean the other way around: a blind person who caused boshes to somebody else is potter, according to Rabbi Yehuda, on the basis of this gzeira shava. Okay, Tanya Idach. We learn in another brayser. Rabbi Yehuda omer suma ein lo boshes. Again, Rabbi Yehuda says that for a blind person, boshes doesn't apply if he caused boshes to somebody else. V'chein hoyer Rabbi Yehuda poitre mikol dinim shabat Torah. Furthermore, Rabbi Yehuda would pater him from all dinim mominus in the Torah. So Rabbi Yehuda would say that actually he's potter in any case where he causes damage or injury or whatever. And the Gemara is going to explain now why that is. But Tosfos wonders, in that case, then why does he need to patur him specifically from Boshes? Why does he need a Gzeira Shava specifically for that? So actually, rather, Tosfos says, apparently Rabbi Yehuda changed his mind. Rabbi Yehuda originally held that he's potter specifically from Boshes, but now that he found another Gzeira Shava that said that he's potter from all the dinim, then now it's true he doesn't need that original Gzeira Shava on the word Einecha, and the other Gzeira Shavas that we said before. So that's one possibility. And also another way Tosfos says is, look, after all, Rav Meir is saying for that we say that the blind person is chayev in golus because beloy ra'os, so therefore Rav Yehuda still needs his drasha to say that nevertheless we're mamayet from it. Okay, my time of the Rav Yehuda. Why does Rav Yehuda say in this last braisa that he's potter from all the dini mominus in the Torah? So the omakra, because he says omakra, because the pasuk says regarding a person who killed somebody else b'shogig, the pasuk says b'shoftu ha'eda, the eda, meaning the beistin, should judge bein hamaka ovein goyel adam, between the killer and between the goyel adam. The goyel adam is saying you killed my relative deliberately, and therefore I can go kill you. Meanwhile, the guy is saying I did it accidentally. So Beistin is responsible to judge the claims and counterclaims between them and look for the evidence. So ala mishpatim ha'ela, regarding these laws. So we learn from that, says Rabbi Yehuda, kol sheyeshne b'mako v'goyel adam yeshne b'mishpatim. So any case where the dinim, where he hits it, where any case where there is the difference, where there is the argument between the maka, between the one who killed, and the goyel adam, yeshne b'mishpatim, since the pasuk says ala mishpatim ha'ela. So we learn from that that only then is he chayev in the various other mishpatim, the dinim mominus. Kol she'enim b'mako of a goyel adam, since as we said before, a blind person is potter from Misas Beistin because of Rabbi Yehuda's earlier drasha. Therefore, that implies, because of the word mishpatim, that he's potter from all the other mishpatim as well. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda is saying in this last braisa that we just quoted, that he's actually potter from all the dinim mominus in the Torah. So not just boshes, But not just Boishes, and as Tosfos points out, maybe he doesn't even need the Drosha, maybe he doesn't even need the Gzeira Shava for Boishes anymore. But as far as the other things, we say that he's Potter from Golos and from Misas Bastin and from Malkus, so therefore he's Potter, therefore Rabbi Yehuda learns he's Potter from all the other from all the other Dinim Mamanes as well. Tanya Idach. Then we have yet another Braisa. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Suma Ein Le Boshes. In yet another Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda says that a blind person does not have to pay Boshes. V'chein hoyer Rabbi Yehuda poitrei mikol mitzvahs amuras v'Torah. And Rabbi Yehuda would actually patter him from all mitzvahs that are said in the Torah. So now we're going by stages over here. First we had a Braisa that Rabbi Yehuda said he's potter from both. First we had a Braisa that said Rabbi Yehuda says he's potter from Boshes and from Golos and Malkius and Mrs. Bastin. Then we had another one saying that he's potter from all the Dinim Mominus. And now we have another one where Rabbi Yehuda is saying he's potter from all the mitzvahs in the Torah. Now, what do we mean by that? There is a lot of discussion about that. Does that mean literally the guy can do whatever he wants and he's not chayev in mitzvahs b'chlal? So, I mean, that he's going to be like a goy. So Tosfos says, that look, midrabanan. So Tosfos learns actually that look, midrabanan. At least he's chayev in them. Which in that case, then other rishonim deal with the question. Well, if he's not chayev in any mitzvahs, how can you be chayev him in mitzvahs to rabanan? The whole point is that how do we know? You have to listen to the rabanan. Is based on the pasuk says that you have to listen to them. So if he's potter. So first of all, you have like this. There is a rishon called the Sefer HaMachriya, who learns that he's potter from mitzvahs loises as well. So in that case, then you have the question: if he's potter even from loises, then how can he be chayev in mitzvahs? How can he be chayev in mitzvahs d'rabbanan either? After all, the whole thing of listening to the chachamim on mitzvahs is based on the concept of lois saucer, that you're not allowed to go away from what they say. So it's not just the Machriya. There are a number of other achronim as well. There are a number of achronim that deal with this anyway. So one point is though, there are achronim we'll talk about still, obviously, even if he's not technically chayim in the mitzvah of lois saucer, still a person has to realize that Hashem wants him to listen to the chachamim. In other words, it's more of a logical thing. It's not so much because he has a technical mitzvah to listen to the chachamim, but nevertheless, he has to do what Hashem wants, and therefore that would include that he has to keep the mitzvahs d'rabbanan, as Tosfos says. With that said, there are rishonim who learn, and Tosfos over here also talks about that maybe in fact he's only potter from the Tosfos doesn't say in so many words, but Tosfos and the Rashba and others say he is chayev in lois saucer. That might imply that in general he is chayev in the mitzvahs loises. So in short, you have a machlokas whether when Rabbi Yehuda is saying, now the halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda anyway, as the Gemara is going to go on to say, but according to Rabbi Yehuda, are we saying that he's potter from all mitzvahs, esse and lois esse, or are we saying, and therefore the only way to be mechayev him is d'rabbanan, and maybe not even based on the technical requirement for him to keep mitzvahs d'rabbanan, but rather just because, practically speaking, the Eibush to put you in the world, he expects certain things of you, or is it that in fact he would in fact be chayev in the lois esse, as even according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's only the esse he's potter from? Now, as the Gemara is going to point out, the halacha is not like that, which means, in other words, for example, that a blind person is chayev in all the mitzvahs. So, for example, this has many implications in halacha. A blind person can daven by the Yomud and be motzi people. A blind person can blow shofar and be motzi people. The truth is, Rabbeinu Yerucham writes, and Magen Avraham brings, that maybe we should be choshesh l'chumra when it comes to mitzvahs d'araisa, like tkiyas shofar, and not allow him to, but in practice, the Alter Rebbe, for example, never mentions that concept, and neither do most other poskim. So a blind person can do all those things. A blind person can lead the Seder. As the Gemara is going to point out, Rabbi Yosef was blind and he used to lead his Seder. So in general, the halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda. But even according to Rabbi Yehuda, again, there's this discussion to what extent do we mean that he's actually potter. So, Amr of Shisha Breid Rab Idi, my time at Rabbi Yehuda. Why would Rabbi Yehuda say that he's potter from all the mitzvahs? Because the pasuk says these are the mitzvahs, the chukim and the vezois hamitzvah, chukim hamishpatim, whatever, and the chukim and the mishpatim. Since Rabbi Yehuda already established that he's potter from mishpatim based on the previous limud, so therefore kol sheyeshnim mishpatim yeshnim mitzvahs v'chukim. Rabbi Yehuda learns not only when a person is chayiv in mishpatim and dinei mamonos, is he also chayiv in mitzvahs and chukim? Kol shebechol she'enim in mishpatim, enim in mitzvahs v'chukim. If he's potter from mishpatim, as in the previous drasha, then Rabbi Yehuda would learn that he's potter from mitzvahs and chukim as well. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yosef, meireish hava amina. Rabbi Yosef says that I used to say, man de omer halacha ke Rabbi Yehuda, de omer suma potter min ha-mitzvahs. If someone were to tell me that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, where Rabbi Yehuda says that a blind person is potter from mitzvahs, if somebody were to tell me that, Rabbi Yosef says, I originally thought, ka'avdina yoyma tova l'rabbanan. I would make a yomtiv, I would make a suda, so I would make a yomtiv suda for the Talmudim. My timer, why? Do I mafkadina v'ka'avidna? Because after all, I'd say I have a great schus. I'm not commanded to do the mitzvahs, and yet I'm doing them. So isn't that a great mila that I should be celebrating and thanking Hashem for that privilege? Because Rabbi Yosef, as we know, was blind. But now that I heard what Rabbi Chanina said, the Amr Rabbi Chanina, Godol ha-mitzuvah va-oisim, Misha eini mitzuvah va-oisim, Rabbi Chanina says that a person who keeps the mitzvahs because he's commanded by Hashem is greater than a person who does them even though he's not commanded. You have a variety of different reasons. We learned this Gemara in Kedushin as well. There are a number of different reasons, among other things, that a person who's obligated and a person who's commanded in the mitzvahs has much more of a concern, is he doing them right? That itself is a schos for him. There's the fact that his yetzahara bothers him more about it. Apichsidus, there's the idea, because when he's doing it because Hashem said so, then he's connecting to Hashem at Hashem's level, whereas when he's doing it completely on his own, then he's only connecting at a human level, which can only go so high. Anyway, so Rabbi Yosef says, now that I found that out, I realized, on the contrary, the halacha, it's better to be commanded by Hashem to do mitzvahs. So now he says, man da'am alid ein halacha ke Rabbi Yehuda. So now if somebody tells me for sure the halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda, now to be sure, most likely the halacha is not like him in the first place because he's a yachid, but still, if somebody definitively tells me the halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda, avdina yoyma tova l'rabbanan, that's when I would make the party and the celebration for the chachamim of my yeshiva. My time to kimaf gedina is the agrat fei, because now that I'm commanded in mitzvahs, I have a much greater schar. Now, since when do you do mitzvahs for schar? What happened to Shaloy Amanas L'Kabal Pras? So there's a couple of possibilities. The Eino Yo on Ein Yaakov says that, Rabbi Yosef didn't want to hold himself as being one of those people who's keeping Shaloy Amanas L'Kabal Pras. He wanted to say, even if I'm only on the level of Amanas L'Kabal Pras, then nevertheless it deserves celebration. But there's also, when we talk about schar, there can be different kinds of schar. You know, we have a schar mitzvah, meaning the reward for a person doing a mitzvah as a closer connection to Hashem and the ability to perform more mitzvahs. That's the kind of schar Rabbi Yosef can be talking about, the schar, namely that he gets to be closer to Hashem, which is the purpose that a person should be doing mitzvahs for, and the fact that he has the opportunity to do more mitzvahs, and therefore Rabbi Yosef is happy to have that kind of reward.
He wasn't blind, was he?
He was blind. That's the whole point. That's the whole point. Okay. Mishnah says, but again, the halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda, the halacha is like the chachamim, so therefore a blind person is just as much chayiv in mitzvahs as anybody else. What you do have is, there are certain mitzvahs that, for example, it says by Havdalah, a blind person can't make the bracha, because that has to be that he's actually benefiting from the light and he's not. As far as Kiddush Levana, there's actually a machlokas haposkim, whether he can say Kiddush Levana or not. So, because on the one hand, he can't see the moonlight. On the other hand, other people can see it, and the world benefits from it. So the Mishnah Berurah brings, based on that what he should really do, he should have somebody else say the bracha for him, and he'll answer amen in order to be on the safe side. Okay, Mishnah says, now in the previous Mishnayos we've talked about the Chamisha Dvarim, the up to five types of payments that a person has to pay when he injured somebody else. Again, you have Nezek, Tzar, Ripui, Shevis, and Boishes, which so far in the Perek we've been defining how exactly those are evaluated and paid out. So the Mishnah says, Zech Choyme Ba'odim B'Shur, you have, here you see a Chumra in a person over a Shur, that a person has to pay all five of those things, or up to all five of those things, if he injured somebody else. And umeshalem dmei vlodis. And furthermore, you have another thing as well, which we've talked about earlier in the Masechta, namely that if a person injures a pregnant woman and causes her to miscarry, then he has to pay dmei vlodis. He has to pay the value as based in calculates of how much the babies would have been worth. Essentially, we said how much she would have been worth pregnant versus not pregnant, and we had the different details within that. So, but only a person does that. Of a shur and a mashalom alam nezek or potim mid mevlodis. When it comes to a shur, if Reuven's shur injures Shimon, then Reuven is paying only nezek. He's potter from all the other things, as we learned earlier in the Masechta, that when it says that the Torah describes those various punishments, the tsar and so forth, it uses the expression ish ba'amiso, a person injures somebody else, implying not a shur. And mei vlodis, it says the same thing, anoshim, meaning not shvarim, not oxen. So therefore, there's a chumra where a person would be paying all those different kinds of payments, whereas a shur not. More cases. Hamakes overves imay v'lo also behen chabura. Another case where a person is chayev in chamisha dvarim would be where he hit his father or his mother, but he didn't actually cause a wound that would bleed. We touched on this in the Gemara yesterday. Because when the Torah says that, where the Torah mentions in Parshas Mishpatim that a person hits his father or his mother, he's chayev misa, but the Gemara in Sanhedrin learns out based on other psukim that it means only if he caused an injury that caused bleeding. Or bruising, which bruising is after all also bleeding just under the skin. So here, where he didn't do that, then he's not chayev misa. Therefore, he'd be chayev in the chamisha dvarim. So, because in other words, if he was chayev misa, then we'd say kom lebe d'rabbinei. But he's not chayev misa. Therefore, he's chayev in however many of the chamisha dvarim apply. Nezek, in other words, obviously might not. So we learned in the Gemara yesterday, there could even be a case where he's chayev in all five things, namely the Gemara had described where he took some nosha, which is some kind of cream or chemical or whatever, and put it on his father or his mother's head and made them become bald. That it kills the hair and prevents it from ever growing back. And then you have all chamisha dvarim, because now you have there's nezek, it's a permanent change, there's tsar, there's ripui, etc. So therefore, you could even have such a case, even though there's no bleeding, where he's chayev in all five things. And the Mishnah continues, v'choyvo b'chaveir b'yem ha-kippurim. Similarly, if he injured somebody else on Yom Kippur, now had he done it on Shabbos, then he would be chayev misa, because then he's doing a malacha of shoychet, because he's causing somebody else an injury, which is a tolda of killing. But here it's Yom Kippur, so therefore there's no chayev misa. The maximum penalty for violating Yom Kippur is kares. So we have elsewhere, the Gemara points out, in Ksubas and some other places, the Gemara brings an opinion of Reb Nechunya ben Hakana, who says that even Kores is enough to trigger Kom Libet Rabimine, but the Halacha is not like him, and our Mishnah is not going like him. Only Mrs. Bastian triggers Kom Libet Rabimine. Therefore, in the case of Yom Kippur, Chayev Bekulon, he'd be Chayev in all the penalties because he's not Chayev. The Meiri, by the way, adds, based on other Gemaras, that even if they warned him and said, don't do this, you're going to be chayav malchus, and usually we have the concept that a person doesn't get malchus and also has to pay money, but here the Gemara elsewhere says that a choyvel, a person who injures, the Torah adds that in all cases, unless there's misas based in, he has to pay tashlumen, so therefore, yes, here he might get the malchus, but he'd still be paying the tashlumen. Okay. Mishnah continues, if a person injures an Eved Ivri, so now he'd be chayev in all of them, except if it's his own Eved Ivri, then he's potter from Sheves, because Sheves is the amount of time that the guy is not going to be able to work. Well, if it's his own Eved, that's his loss, that's not the Eved's loss. So if the Eved Ivri belongs to somebody else, then sure, he has to pay to somebody else for Sheves. But if it's his own Eved Ivri, he'd be potter from Sheves. Either way, that was chayev and all the other things, because an Eved Ivri basically belongs to himself. It's only that he's temporarily working for 6 years or until Yovel or whatever for somebody else. So, yeah. And if he injures an Eved Knani that belongs to somebody else, then he's chayiv in all of them, because after all, one the this Eved Knani is sort of like a half Jew. He has had Mila and Tvila, so he's considered to that extent like Yisrael, and therefore the regular rules of chayvo b'chaveri would apply to him. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ein La'avodim Boshes. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees and says that there's no Boshes for Avodim, as we'll learn in the Gemara on Daf Peches, Best Hashem, why Rabbi Yehuda would say that. We touched on that in the Gemara yesterday, and in the Gemara had mentioned, Rabbi Yehuda would hold there's no Boshes for them. However, we had a case there in the Gemara where a person intended to cause Boshes to an Eved, and instead caused Boshes to a Ben Chorin, where there we said that the Braisa said he pays the Ben Chorin what would have been paid to the Eved. Even Rabbi Yehuda, the Gemara had said, would agree with that. Namely, what we do is we figure out, well, how much would have been paid to the Eved were it not for the fact that he's an Eved. And Rabbi Yehuda is therefore saying he's potter, and that amount is what you pay to the Ben Chorin. So that's how it is. Next. Continues the Gemara. The Mishnah continues. Cheresh shot of a cotton, p'giyosan ra. If you end up tangling with a cheresh shot of a cotton, then you're in a bad situation. If you encounter them in a matter of nizokin, then you're in a bad way. Because if you injure them, you're chayev. Same way as if it was a regular person. But if they cause injury to you, then they're potter, because they don't have das, and they don't have the das to know that they're causing injury, and they can't be bechal. You can't punish them, and therefore they're potter. So in short, in other words, the Mishnah in effect is saying, if you get into a fight with a cheresh shot of a cotton, realize you're going to end up the worse for it, because you're going to end up paying them for any injury or damage that you cause. Meanwhile, they're going to be potter for anything you do to them. On the other hand, it doesn't mean necessarily a fight, but whatever. The point is, if you encounter them in a matter of nizakin. On the other hand, Eved v'ha'isha p'giyosan ra, now you have a different case when it comes to an Eved Knani or a woman, then also p'giyosan ra, you also may not be in the best situation, because you're going to be chayev for hurting them. They also are potter because they don't have mammon of their own. However, avol mishamin la'achazman, the difference is, unlike a cheresh shot of a cotton, where we don't make them pay now, where we don't make them pay ever, with the Eved or the Isha, eventually they will have to pay. Eventually, if she gets divorced, or widowed for that matter, or if the Eved gets free, and now they have Nechosim, they will have to pay. Now, even Rashi points out, what about the woman's Nechsim Malug? The answer is, they're still Meshubad to her husband, because her husband still gets them, as far as still is entitled to payers for them. And if she dies before him, he Yaushins them, therefore, we can't say that they're available to pay off the nezek right now. So we're saying that Turim, they're potter right now only because they don't have any assets. But unlike the cheresh shot of a cotton, who are never going to be chayev here for something that they did when they were cheresh shot of a cotton. Obviously, if a cheresh recovers or a shot recovers, etc., then from then on they're going to be chayev, but they're going to be potter from what happened beforehand. So on the other hand, the Eved or the Isha, since they are bnei das, they are in principle chayev. Because right now they have no assets, but eventually if they get any assets, they're going to be paying. By the way, it does mention in Shulchan Aruch, in this connection, that b'chlal, if a child committed an issu when they were young, they don't, in principle, they don't have to do tshuva on it when they get older, but nevertheless, it would be good for them to do so. But nevertheless, we can't be mechayev then yet. Continue. So the Mishnah continues. Nisgarsha ishinishtachra eved. So exactly that. If the wife is divorced or the eved is freed, chayav and l'shalem. Now they become chayav to pay because now they have assets of their own. Continues the Mishnah. What about if he injured his parent and he did cause a wound, which makes where blood came out or where there was a bruise? So then he's chayav misa. Or he injured somebody else on Shabbos. Potter mikolam, then he's potter from all the payments, but neshu nidin menafshe, because it's chayav misa, and therefore we have komle b'dirah.
We're talking about the who's this?
We're talking about the son. So in the case of the parents, we're talking about the son. So the son hit his father or mother and caused them a bruise or an injury. No, we're talking about a god. A cotton is not high misa. No, okay. Now we're saying something else. Now we're saying an adult child and an adult son or daughter who hit their parent and caused a wound is chayav misa, therefore they're potter from the payments. Unlike Uriah in the Mishnah, where we said veloyos ban chabora, where we said he didn't actually injure them, he didn't actually cause any bleeding, so then there's no chayav misa, therefore he's chayav for payment. Here it's the other way around. There's misa, therefore there's no payment, because kom lebe didab. Now, we talked about yesterday, what about the fact that he's mekalkel? On the face of it, your only person is chayev for breaking Shabbos only if he did a constructive thing, not if he did something destructive. You have a number of malachas of Shabbos that involve destroying in order to create. So amanas livnos, moichak amanas lichtov, etc. But over here, the point is that when he's hitting the other person, he's doing something very wrong. He's being over on an iser, but he's doing it in a way that makes him calm down and feel better. Oh, I got the other guy. Therefore, that can be considered a constructive enough thing for the purpose of Hilchos Shabbos, that therefore he'd be chayav misa or whatever penalties of Shabbos. So again, he's chayav misa, therefore he's potter from Tashlomin. So mipnei shu nidin menafshe, because he's chayav misa. And the Mishnah finishes off, v'achoyvah be'evet k'nani shaloi, if he injures his own Eved Knani, Potter Mikulan, then he's Potter from all the payments because the Eved completely belongs to him, and therefore there's nothing to pay. Tosfos actually points out that the master would at least be chayev for the refuah for the Eved. What we mean is, in other words, that the later on in the paragraph, we're going to talk about a case, let's say based in brought an expert, and they figured it's going to take 5 days for him to recover, and therefore we need 5 days worth of doctor's bills. In the end, the guy recovered faster than normal, and he's good, and he's back on his feet in 3 days. So we say he's able to keep the extra money. Here we're saying, though, the master, sure, he'd have to pay for the doctor's bills for as much as it takes to heal the Eved, but he doesn't have to give the extra, even though Bastin, to begin with, had evaluated that it would take longer. So the Gemara says, Bominei Rabbi Lozamei Rab, Hachoyvo Babask Tana Shal Acherim. Suppose a person injures a little, a young daughter that belongs to somebody else. We know that a girl, as long as she's a katana or a naira, then she's still under her father's rishus. So Rashi points out, if she's a gdola, then there's no question the money belongs to her, just like any other person. But when she's a katana, so actually the Pnei Yeshua discusses what would be the din with a Naira. A Naira is in her father's Rishus for some purposes, but not for others. But in any case, here the question is specifically about a Ketana. So Chabala Lami, who is he paying the money for the injury for? The question is, do we say the Torah is makne all the benefits that come during her katnus to nairus to her father, because the Torah says binureha beisaviha, and for example, her money of kedushin goes to the father and so forth. Chavola nami davu ahavi. So maybe also the money for injuries goes to her father as well. My time to her after some kaspa, and we can say the logical reason behind it would be because, after all, the other guy by injuring her now makes her worth less. Another person is Les who's going to offer kedushin money for her is likely to offer less because now she doesn't look as attractive. So therefore maybe the father should get this money as well. Or maybe we can say no. The benefit of Na'urim, the fact that he can accept kedushin on her behalf to whoever he wants. So you can say that is what the Torah gives him, in the sense the boil mimsal al mukeshchin motzi masar. Conceivably, he could marry her off to a mukeshchin, to somebody who's covered with boils, because the father has the absolute right to accept kedushin on behalf of his daughter. And so therefore you can say he has that ability to marry her off to whoever he wants. Therefore, any money that comes from Kiddushin would go to him. Avo Chabala, but when it comes to injuring her, given the Iboy Mischabal Matzi Chabal, the fact is he's not allowed to injure her. The fact is a Yid is not allowed to injure another one without cause. After all, Rashi points out that you have a pasuk that says, in connection with somebody who's chayev malchus, the pasuk says lo Yosef, you're not allowed to add extra malchus pen Yosef, because he's going to be over if he does. So we learn from that any case where a person has no right to hit somebody else, then he's not allowed to. So in that case, Fine, he's allowed to hit her when necessary, like a father does to his children, but not to actually be choyvel and to actually cause an injury. So therefore, so he's not able to do that. So therefore, lo kanya le rachmana. Maybe therefore the Torah is not makna him the right, the money from that in the first place. So that's the question that Rabbi Elazar asked. Omale, so Rav answers him, loy ziksa ha Torah la'av el shvach ne'urim bilvad. The answer is like your first possibility. The only thing the Torah is mezaka to the father is the money of the kiddushin, but not this kind of thing. Well, the Gemara says esve. So Rabbi Elazar asks Rav the following question, or there's a different girsa, mesvi, that there are achron, and we'll say the correct girsa should be mesvi. They ask the question, namely not that Rabbi Elazar accepted the answer from Rav, but in a later generation when the Chachamim were discussing, when the Amoraim were discussing it, they came up with the following question. The Mishnah had said, achoivo be'eved ivri, a person injures an eved ivri, chayev b'kolon. We said he's chayev to pay all of the payments. Chutz min hasheves b'zman shurushaloi, with the exception of sheves when the eved belongs to him himself. Because again, then the sheves means that the eved now there's a period of time when he can't work. Well, that's a loss to the master himself, and since the master himself is the one who's injuring him, then therefore there's no sheves to be paid. So by the same logic, shouldn't the sheves at least be, shouldn't the father at least get the sheves? So you have this other person went and injured the daughter. Among other things, she has sheves. There's a period of time when she can't do whatever normal work around the house she should. And usually the father is entitled to that. So therefore, in that case, the father at least should be entitled to that sheves. Omar Abaya says, yeah, Moder Rav b'sheves to ma'isi yader ad shas bagrus davu ahav. Sure, Rav would agree when it comes to sheves, given that anything she earns during that time, anything she earns, anything she makes until she becomes a begeres, belongs to her father. So yeah, in other words, we would say that Rabbi Elazar's question to begin with was not on sheves. The question was about the other nizakim. And the Nemuka Yosef actually wants to say that really Rabbi Elazar's question was primarily about Nezek. He wasn't asking about Tsar and Boshes. There'd be little question that those belong to her. She's the one who personally suffered the Tsar. She's the one who personally suffered the Boshes. So therefore we could say that she's getting those. The question would have mainly been about Nezek. And now we're saying as far as Sheves, then there's nothing to talk about because the father definitely would get the Sheves because he's entitled to anything she earns. But then he asks him another question, or again, Mesvi, maybe that they ask the question. Another Braisa says, "Hachoyvel b'bnoi gadol." If a person injures his son who's already a gadol, yitim le miyad, then he has to pay him right away because that son is like any other person that he has to pay him. He has to pay him right away, like any other yid. B'bnoi katan. But if it was his young child who's still a member of the household, yasaloi sgula. Then instead of paying him, now the difference is the Torah gives the father a reshus over his daughter because it says binureha beisavia. The Torah doesn't give the father such a reshus over his son. For example, as far as being a kaddish, the father can't accept kiddushin on behalf of his son. B'chlal, there's no such thing as kiddushin for a katan. Only for a ketana is there kiddushin, and then the father is able to accept it. So now when it's his child, when it's his own son, so yasulahem sgula, so then what he should do with the money, he should make a sgula out of it, which further on the Amud, we're going to explain what that means exactly at the bottom of the Amud. Anyway, the point is, and then the Braisa continues, hachoyvo b'bite ktana potter. Now, if he injures his daughter when she's a ktana, then he's potter. Not only that, but if anybody else injures her, he's chayev to pay the father. So we see from this braisa that it all goes to the father, not like Rav had said. And the answer is hachinami b'sheves. You can answer the braisa doesn't mean everything. It means as far as the sheves, whereas we said since her maisia deha goes to her father, therefore the sheves, which means a lack of maisia deha, also goes to her father, but not necessarily the other things. Those might well go to her, or maybe you would have the same skula rule that we're going to say with a boy would apply to this. Okay. Now the Gemara says, "Rabnoi gadol yitin lemiyad." So you're telling me that if it's his son who's already a godel, then he should pay him right away, and the son, in other words, just keeps it and does whatever he wants with it. But I have a contradiction. Another Braisa says, if somebody injures a son or a daughter of somebody else, if the person they injured, if the nizak is an older person, then you pay them right away. And if it's ketanim, then you also make a segula. You put away the money for something that they can use later in life, as we'll see later on in the Gemara. But if it was his own children, then he's potter, and that means whether they're gdolim or ktanim. So what's the deal? So the answer, like kasha, it depends. The second braisa is talking about where these children are smuchim al shulchanai; they're dependent on his table. He supports them. So now we have a problem called Ava. If we don't have them give these payments to him, then he's going to say, why should I bother supporting you anymore? You want to keep your own money for yourself? Then fine, go ahead and support yourself from now on. So midrabbanan, we're going to say that the father gets it. Whereas the first braisa was talking about where they're not smuchim al shulchanai, so therefore there's nothing to talk about, then there's no eva, so therefore he has to pay them. So now that's what we're saying. Ketanim versus gdolim. The problem is, if you give ketanim money, they're not going to know what to do with it. You want to do, when we said segula before, the Gemara is going to explain at the bottom of the Amud that it means you want to do something with that money which will benefit them later in life. We're going to see exactly how that is. But the point is, so now there's the difference. So again, a father injured his bnei gadol. If that bnei gadol is not actually being supported by him, then he has to pay him. There's no problem of Ava because he's anyway not supporting him. But if he's smuchim al shulchanai, so anybody else injured them, they'd have to pay the father because of the problem of Ava, and therefore the father himself is potter, because anyway it would be like taking from one pocket and putting into the other. Tosfos compares this with a Gemara that in Bava Metzia, which we'll have in a few weeks, best to shame, about cases where a cotton finds something, and you have a machloikas in the Gemara over there, whether it's a difference between an actual godel versus cotton, or whether you're talking about whether he's supported or not. And Tosfos discusses the comparison of that with the comparison of that with our Gemara over here. That one thing is, you have to keep in mind, in the case of a metzia over there, if this child keeps it for himself, after all, the father's not losing out anything that he doesn't have to pay out. He's just not getting something that he would have. Whereas over here, he's actually having to pay out, so therefore there would be that difference to factor in. So the Gemara says, Ihochi Eima Seifa. So the Gemara says, B'mai ukimta l'kamaisa. So what are you telling me then? The first braisa is talking about b'she'in smuchan al shulchanai. The first braisa you're talking about where they're not supported by him, and therefore that's why we're saying that if it was b'nai gadol, he has to pay right away, and b'nai katan, he has to make a segula out of it. The problem with that is, Ihochi Eima Seifa. What about though? The braisa said, continued, Achovo b'bite ketana potter, that if he injured his young daughter when she's a ketana, then he's potter. And was saying that if other people injured her, they would have to give her father. Shouldn't he have to give it to her? If in the first braisa we're talking about where she's a tana, but she's already self-supporting, then the money should be paid to her. After all, she requires mizonis; she's supporting herself. So why should the father get the money in that case? Now, even according to the opinion, which we learned in Gittin, Machloikas, about this, can a master say to his Eved Knani, you're going to work for me, and I'm not obligated to support you, you go around and beg for tzedakah or whatever? Nevertheless, Hani Mili be Eved Knani. That would only be by an Eved Knani that you could do that. Because he can tell him, you go away, you work for me all day. In the evenings, you can go circulate around. Sachar, like a word of soicher. A soicher means a merchant, but the basic meaning of sachar means to circulate around. So a soicher, a merchant, is called that because he circulates around looking for business. So in the evenings, when you're not working for me, then you can go circulate around and go from door to door and ask for tzedakah. Rashi actually gives two lashonis. One that it means sabe ve'echo chazor al psachim, go circulate around among the from one door to another to collect tzedakah. Loshen achar, another expression, sachar sabe v'pischeir, go circulate around among the doors in the city. That might mean like to get yourself some work or something, whatever. The point is, in other words, so according to that opinion, he's able to say that the Rashash explains Rashi's first explanation would make it that Sabiv would mean Meloshin Haseva. Like you're going to find somebody you can eat by, somebody who's willing to give you food. So fine, you can recline there and eat. I don't have to support you. But
once he's making money,
the problem is the money would go to the master. But let's say, for example, somebody could give him money on Manas Shein L'Rab Chodoshus, that on condition your master doesn't have. But anyway, the point is that the point is he's saying that I don't have to support you. You can figure it out yourself. So by an Eved Knani, you have the ability to do that. But even by an Eved Ivri, you can't do that. The Pasuk says that he has it good with you. And we learn from that, Imcha b'maychol, Imcha b'mishta, that it means he has to be equal to you in food and drink. So therefore, you can't tell him, Asei mi ve'en izonach. So therefore, you can't even do it by an Eved Knat, by an Eved Ivri. Tosfos points out a different girsa that brings a different pasuk in this connection. Anyway, the point is that loy koshik and vita, how much more so his daughter that he can't say asei mi ve'eni zonach. So we're back to the question: if the first brisa is talking about when even if the first brisa is saying that regardless he has to that he's allowed to keep it, and we can assume the first brisa is talking about smuchim al shochanoi, fine, then we can understand why he gets the payment. But if you're telling me the first brisa is talking about ein smuchim al shochanoi, and that is why if the child is a gadol then he pays him right away, and a cotton he puts it away as a segula, then by bnoi ktana, by Bite Ktana, why is he? Why is the father getting the money? If she's self-supporting, she should get all the money, including Shevis. The answer is Kid Omar Rava Braided of Ula, La Nitzucha El Hadoka, like we have what Rava Braided of Ula says in a different context about that the Chiddush is as far as Hadoka, as far as the extra amount. You have a case like this. You have a case that we learned in Masechet Ksubos. So now we have like this. We know that a daughter is Maisia Deha, and anything that she finds goes to her father as long as she's a Ketana. What happens if her father passes away and her brothers take over the Yerusha? So now what happens is that you can have a case where you can have a case, so you can, there can be a case where they're supporting her, and then they continue to get her Maisia Deha or her Metzia. There can be a case where she's self-supporting. But now you have also Lo Nitzrucha El Hadafa, that Rava Breda of Ula pointed out, you can have a case where she's making extra. So you can have, they are supporting her, they're giving her, let's say, $10 a day for food. Meanwhile, she's producing $15 a day. So 10 of it goes to them to pay for, to compensate for the food they're giving her out of the Yerusha. Meanwhile, the other five she gets to keep for herself. So the same thing over here. The Brai says, talking about even, so she's not smuchal shochanoi. The point is, he would. So yes, whatever goes to her that she'd need for her upkeep, for her expenses, sure, has to go to her. But anything beyond that, the father gets, because after all, she is a tana. So even though she's not smuchal shochanoi, therefore we can say there is a case where the father is going to get, namely the extra amount above and beyond the above and beyond what she's going to need.
You don't say that she's supporting herself, she should get the whole thing?
No, so that's what we're saying. So she's going to get whatever is necessary for her to support herself. Because after all, so you have to consider, for example, so she was until now earning $10 a day. Now she has Shevis. Now she's out of work because she was injured and she's lying in the bed recovering. So meanwhile, the $10 a day for Shevis is being paid to her. But now, let's say, for example, let's say there would be more payments. Let's say there would be above and beyond the other payments or whatever. Let's say the Shevis itself ended up being more for whatever reason, then that extra would go to the father. That's what we're saying. Okay. So the Gemara says, "B'mayu kimtel basraisa." Now let's look at the second braisa. We're saying that the second braisa is talking about the smuchim al shulchanoi that was saying that they're supported by the father, and therefore that's why that we said the second braisa that would explain why why he's potter in the case of his own children when he injured them, because anyway, the payments are going to him. Well, the question is, in that case, then why is that second braisa saying that if they're adults, then he gives them the money, and if they're ketanim, he makes them a segula, meaning either way, he's not keeping the money. Why? If they're smuchim al shulchanei, amayla aviyem boi lemesmi, shouldn't the money go to the father? So the answer is, we could say, you could say that, you know what, the father would be makbid on, and there'd be a problem of Ava, only something where he himself is losing out money. So in other words, if he himself injured them, and normally we would make him pay, and that would cause Ava, what do you mean, I'm supporting you, and yet I should have to pay also? So never mind, go start supporting yourselves. So therefore, the Chachamim will potter him from paying them. But when it comes to something that comes from elsewhere, something that somebody else is paying, nezik that somebody else does, then loy kofid, he's not so machbid on that. So therefore, because after all, he's not losing out. So therefore, you can give them the money, and we don't assume that that's going to cause Ava. But the Gemara asks, what about the Metzia, as it says in Bava Metzia, as the Gemara, as Tosfos brings over here, that by Metzia comes from the outside, it's not something that the father is paying out, and yet we say he'd be makbid, and therefore if there's smuchim al shulchanoi, then they have to give it to him. And again, Tosfos compares this with that Gemara over there to see what the exact distinctions is over there. That one point is there's a difference when the child gets this money. Is he likely? Is his first instinct likely to be to run to his tati and then give him the money or not? There is that distinction to take in mind as well. Anyway, so Metzia comes me Alma, the Kakofid, and yet we say he's Machbid, and therefore the Metzia goes to him, according to the Yochanan, that is, who says that the difference is not cut. The Mishnah had said over there, Katan versus Gadol, you have a similar discussion to hear whether Gadol, Rabbi Yochanan learns, means that Gadol means as long when they're self-supporting, then they're called Gadol, and when they're not self-supporting, they're called Katan, whereas Shmuel says that means literally Gadol and Katan in age. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, at least, and we see that Metzia is coming me'alma, the father is not losing out anything, and yet we're saying they have to give it to the father, otherwise there's Ava. So the answer, the difference is Ravcha de Ka'osi lo ma'alma, the less lahut sada de gufai o begava, because in that case, they're having a benefit that comes from the outside, a Metzia, they found something, and they didn't have any tsar from it, so therefore the father is going to be makbid, and therefore he's going to expect them to give it to him, and if they don't, then he's going to be upset. But when it comes to injury, they themselves suffered sar, and it comes from the outside, so then the father is not paying out. Then we can say the father is not makri. So therefore, in other words, the father, he's fought, you know, he has rachmanus on his kids, the kids suffered an injury, so therefore I'm not going to demand that he gives all the money to me. So the Gemara asked, "V'ha'hosem de isla tzara de gufa?" What about though? Now going back to the first braisa, the case of achedim shechov leba, where people injured his young daughter. There you have the same consideration. She had tzara de gufa; she suffered physically, or ma'alma ka'asila, and it came from the outside. The kakofid, and yet we're makbid to katoni, because the braisa said, we said if somebody else injures her, then they have to pay the father. So we see that even though there was tsar involved, and even though it's coming me'alma, they're still having to pay the father. Now Tosfos brings up the question, so what? Didn't we say before that we're talking about Sheves? And so we could say very simply, the first braisa is focusing on Sheves, the second braisa is focusing on the other thing, Nezek, Tsar, and so forth. And Tosfos says that no, we assume the same way as by boys, we're saying Yasa Lahem Segula, and that means even though the Maisiya Dehem of the boys don't belong to the father, nevertheless, everything, including Sheves, is included in the Yasa Lahem Segula, we would assume the same thing is true as far as the daughter. So then there'd be no reason to draw that distinction between the different braisas, and Tosfos points out some other possibilities in that as well. So the answer is Amri. We say there's a difference. Hosam de gavra kapdonu. The difference is, in the first braisa, we're talking about the father is a person who's makbid. Look at this. You're talking about a father where his own children, who are ktanim, are not samuch al shulchanai. They are, he's not supporting them. They're ktanim, but already he's expecting them to be self-supporting. So I feel of a midi to osiluma alma. So therefore, even something that comes from the outside and where there's tzar kofid, then we can assume he's makbid, and he's going to insist that he should at least be getting some part of it. So we say again, the basic sheves, which she's supporting herself, therefore the basic sheves she's going to get, but the extra he's going to demand. After all, she's biti ktana, and I have certain rights over her. So therefore it's going to have to go to him.
Even though it's coming from Alma,
and even though there was tzar, because we're talking about evidently this is the kind of person we're dealing with, and therefore we have to do it that way in order to avoid further evil. But in the second braisa, he's obviously not such a person who's makbid. He doesn't get so angered so easily. After all, he is supporting these children, and maybe even when they're older, even when they're able to be self-supporting, when would he be makbid? If they're not going to give him the money, would only be only where he himself has to pay out of pocket, namely where he injured them. The midi, the osilahuma alma, like copied, but something that comes from the outside where he's not going to lose out, then he wouldn't be makbid, and he wouldn't mind if they keep it. Okay, so the Gemara finishes off my segula. What is the segula that we're talking about that we do for the children? Rav Chista on a sefer Torah. Rav Chista says it means you buy them a sefer Torah with the money. The point is, this is something a keren kayemes loy, and you have payers from it, because meanwhile the child can learn Torah with it. Nowadays, that we don't learn from Sifrei Torah, then Mepashtus it would be something similar, like Sfarim or whatever. Rabba Bar Avuna Amad Dikla De Ochem Init Tamri. Rabba Bar Avuna says it means it would be a date palm from which he can eat dates. So that would also be a segula. So that's also, there's a keren, there'll be a tree in the future when he grows up, and meanwhile he has payers. Okay. We may as well finish up the next couple of lines. Okay. So the Gemara says, "V'chein amar ishlokish." Now, so we had, so we were saying before that there's a difference between when the father gets the money for the daughter versus when he does not. So Rishlokish said the same kind of thing, like Rab, "Loy ziksa turtle avil shvachna urim bilvav." The same way as Rab had said on the top of the Amud that the turtle only gives the father the rights to the shvachna urim, only to the money of kiddushin. So it is also so Rishlokish says the same thing. Therefore, the father is not necessarily entitled to the payment for chavah. With the exceptions that we say. But Rabbi Yochanan Amar Afilu Ptzia. On the other hand, Rabbi Yochanan disagrees and says even the value, even the money for the actual wound herself, for the actual wound itself, sounds like it means the nezek. So then the Torah is mezaka all of it to the father. So he disagrees with Rab and with Rish Lakish. So the Gemara asks Ptzia Sakadai. What do you mean? If she got wounded, let's say in her face or something, Afilu Rabbi Lozer Loi Kamebayilei Ela Chabala. Even Rabbi Lozer is only asking about the kind of injury that makes her worth less. Where, after all, as we said, he has the ability to sell her as an Omar Ivriya, he has the ability to be Makadisher, and therefore Rabbi Lozer was asking the question: where you have an injury that now makes her worth less, then therefore we can talk about whether the father for kedushin or as an Omar Ivriya, can we talk about the father has suffered a monetary loss? But a ptzia, an ordinary wound, is not something that after some kaspa it'll heal in a few days, and that's that. So how can Rabbi Yochanan say that even that goes to the father? The answer is even Rabbi Lozer was not asking about a ptzia that didn't reduce her value. What we're talking about is where the injury was on her face, and therefore that does make her worth less as an Omer Hevriya or as kedushin. That would be the what? So even if it's temporary, it's still temporary. Right now, he could have accepted kedushin for her, and therefore it's going to be worth less. But the point is that certainly, if it's permanent, then so therefore, Rabbi Yochanan is saying that all goes to the father. Whereas again, Rav and Rish Lakish had said that not. So first of all, the Rif adds Tsar and Boshes, certainly even Rabbi Yochanan would agree that she gets them. As we said before, Tsar, after all, she's the one who suffered the Tsar. She's the one who suffered the Boshes. The Rosh ad that also Ripui would go anyway to the doctor. The father's not really getting anything out of it. So we're only talking about Nezek. We're only talking about Nezek and Sheves primarily. So Nezek when it would be a permanent injury, and Sheves when she's recovering. Meanwhile, she can't do work. So then, the Baal Amor actually says that Boshas, the father, would actually get, because the father has a certain Boshas in it as well. Tosfos explains the reason behind the Machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, like this. There's no question that you have there's an injury right now during her nidus, where again, the father has the ability to be Makadish her during this time. What about, though, this might be a permanent injury where she's going to have a scar for the rest of her life. So now, Rish Lakish, so Rav and Rish Lakish are going to take the view. Look, there's going to come a point when she's out of her father's Rishus. Why should all that money go to her father? Whereas Rabbi Yochanan takes the view, yeah, right now, though, the injury happened when she's in his Rishus, and therefore he should get all the money. That's one way Tosfos explains, and then Tosfos explains another point that
she has to live with it,
right? So that's why she'd get the Tsar and the Boshes, but yeah. When another way of looking at it, Tosfos says, when it comes to Maisi Adeha, sure, the father gets it, and as we discussed in the previous sugya, but the question is, as far as what happens that now she's worth less for Kiddushin, does that itself, once the Torah is mezakeh him in Kiddushin, does that mean anything that affects Kiddushin, including the fact that now she's worth less on the marriage market because she has an injury on her face, would that also go to the father? So Rabbi Yochanan would say yes, and Rish Lakish and Rab would say no, because the fact is only the actual money of Kiddushin itself would go to her, would go to him, rather.
In a normal situation,
the money for Kiddushin, no question, goes to him. The question is, here you have something that affects the Kiddushin, namely that it makes that now she's worth less, so to speak, for Kiddushin. So therefore, would that also go to the father? So that's another way of looking at it. Rabbi Yochanan, Rish Lakish and Rav would say, no, the Torah is only mezakehem, the actual Kiddushin money itself, not anything that impinges on the Kiddushin, whereas Rabbi Yochanan would say they all go together.
Okay. Put on yesterday's shear.